I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a moment, a visit with the author of Truancy. It's a new novel by a teenaged fiction writing phenomenon. But first, we continue our series on Investing 101. We're going over the basics, and I mean the basics. The questions you wanted to ask but were afraid to ask, or you thought were too basic to ask, this is for you. Our money coach, Alvin Hall, has been talking to us about stocks, bonds, and how to build an investment portfolio. Today, he's going to tell us all about how to read the stock tables. Alvin, you promised you'd make this interesting.
I'm going to try my best, because you look at all that tiny writing, and it's just boring. It's daunting before you ever get started.
Okay. So first, explain, what's a stock table? How do you find them? Used to be every newspaper had one, but they don't do that anymore, right?
No, many of them don't, and that's to save on paper costs because it was just too many stocks covered, too much information had to go there. So now you can go to the Wall Street Journal website or many of the other financial newspapers, and they will have the stock columns on their website. And basically, it shows you the following information about the stock. It shows you the daily high and low, what was the highest price of the stock that day and the lowest price. It then shows you sometimes the symbol for that stock when it trades on NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchange, or the other market. Then it will show you one key item, and that item is the dividend, if the company pays a dividend. All dividend payments are at the discretion of the board of directors of the company, and it depends upon the company's attitude toward dividends if they're going to pay it.
Is there any benefit to just perusing the stock tables the way some people scan the headlines, or should you always be looking at the stock tables for specific information about specific stocks?
You should actually be looking at specific information for specific stocks. A good way to do this is to create a paper portfolio. Think of some stocks that you're really interested in, 6 to 8, and then track them over a period of 3 to 6 months, looking at the key factors in those stocks that will affect the prices. One of the items that does not appear in the tables, but one that you must track, is the company's earnings.
And how do we track that?
There are websites. There's one called Whisper Earnings. There's another one called earnings.com. But another, I think, much more reliable way is to look at Standard & Poor's and Value Line's website and look at their stock analysis tables.
So there's just really no benefit to just kind of perusing
stocks
sort of in general. There's just no point to that.
No, it's like going to a Kmart and just strolling through the store to see what's there, right? Nothing's going to really catch your eye if you're just strolling through that store. You go to a big place like that, Target shopping, and in this case, you need to go and look for a specific company because that's the only way you really learn how a stock actually works. You need to develop an intuition about it.
What's the P.E. ratio?
The P.E. ratio is price to earnings. Let's first explain what earnings are. A company reports its earnings every quarter, and earnings is all the profit that remains after a company deducts operating expenses, interest on any outstanding fixed income securities and bonds, taxes, and any dividends that is paid to preferred shareholders. What's left is the earnings for common, and all companies must report that. This number is the number out of which they pay dividends. If they're going to pay a dividend, it will be declared out of the earnings per share.
And so the price-to-earnings ratio is the price of the stock relative to its earnings. What kind of P.E. ratio do we want?
A P.E. ratio varies depending upon the industry. A low P.E. ratio tends to be more characteristic of a blue-chip company, one that is paying out a dividend, is growing at a slow rate. When you look at new industries, for example, biotech or technology companies, they tend to have higher P.E. ratios. Why? Because people are buying those shares expecting them to grow. Now, here's the way you can think about a P.E. ratio, Michelle. It is the company's current market price divided by its annual earnings. If a company has a P.E. ratio of 20 to 1, then it will take it approximately 20 years to make that based on the current annual earnings of that stock. So a high P.E. ratio definitely tells you that the company is in a growth mode.
Okay. If you own mutual funds, do you look up every... You can't. You're not going to look up every stock in your mutual fund,
oh,
are you?
No, how do you, how that's do you... why you choose a mutual fund with a professional management. You want to have your life easier. So all you have to do is to track what your mutual fund is doing. When you look at a mutual fund, Michelle, there are three things you need to pay attention to. First would be the expenses of the fund. Some funds have low loads, some have very high charges associated with them. When you buy a mutual fund with an expense ratio of, let's say, over 1%, that's pretty high. So less money is coming into your pocket. The next thing you want to look at is how long that manager has been there. The manager needs to have been there through ups and downs of the marketplace, because that tells you that they have a good ability to choose stock through varying market conditions. And the last thing I tell everybody to look at is actually what's in that portfolio. Because if you have four mutual funds, you don't want the same stocks to be in every single one of those mutual funds. You're not diversifying, you're over-concentrating.
Do you have an opinion about people who say, I don't want a mutual fund if it invests in certain companies that are in violation of my values?
I think that's actually permissible. I don't buy mutual funds that own companies that, for example, sell tobacco. That's because I'm such an anti-smoking person. I really don't think I want my money to be invested in those companies. I think people should often put their money where it makes them feel good. So then you get the benefit of knowing you can help somebody if it's an ethical fund, help the environment, but yet help put money away for your retirement and build your own financial security.
All right. Our personal finance expert, Alvin Haugh, joined us from our New York Bureau. Remember, if you want to listen to previous conversations in our Investment 101 series, you can always go to our website at npr.org/tellmemore. And you can always ask questions of Alvin. Let us know if you have a question for Alvin. Send it to us and we'll put it to him. Alvin, thank you.
You're most welcome.